Coast to Coast. This is Joel Reinberger.
Are you a boomerang? Or maybe your kids are? If you grew up here, Tasmania exerts a very strange magnetic pull which grows stronger the longer you're away. And eventually, you boomerang back. Are you one of them? I am. What brought you back? On Handball today, we have my fellow boomerang, Claire Glade-Wright. G'day there, Claire.
Good morning, Joel.
Now, you may have heard Claire's name recently as she got herself elected to the Kingborough Council, almost got the mayor's seat, but is happy as a councillor for the meantime. But we're not going to get into the politics too much today. We're going to talk about what sent her away and what brought her back to us. So, Claire, what did you want to be when you finished school? What were you expecting to be?
When I first finished school, I wanted to be a famous actress. So I took myself all around Australia. I auditioned at many different acting schools and I got myself into BAPA, which is the Ballarat Academy of Performing Arts.
I had no idea BAPA even existed. Did you at the time?
Oh, yes, I did at the time. I was well aware.
Okay. And what happened at BAPA?
Well, I had an amazing 3 years. It was an absolutely riveting degree. I did discover, however, that I probably wasn't going to be the world's Oscar-winning actress. So despite having an absolute ball, I realised that maybe I didn't have the passion for it to stay a sort of struggling artist. So I decided to move on to the next thing.
Now, was there a moment for that where you went, you know, this is not actually working?
No, it was just a sort of vibe that grew over the 3 years, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you weren't tempted to drop out?
Oh, no. I was having so much fun. It was absolutely fun. Acting school's the best. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a nephew who's in it now, and he's getting great joy out of it. So I get that. So what did you go to next? Acting degree done. What's next?
So then I wanted to give myself more of a mental challenge. So I went off and did a law degree at La Trobe University in Melbourne.
Right. Okay. Complete law degree.
Complete law degree. Yes, I did finish.
Did you do your final prac thing so you get a practicing license, etc.?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I have this memory, the very last exam that I did of my law degree, and these exams are epic.
Yeah.
Where you have, it's all open book, the law exam, so you have to take in piles and piles of books, and then you have all these little stick-it notes to try and help you find the answers. So I walked out of that law degree holding this enormous stack of books, and I walked past a rubbish bin and just went plonk, and I was done. Absolutely
right.
Done. So I worked out that I didn't want to be a lawyer either, despite going through the whole 3 years and finishing.
So there must have been something in between law and acting that you thought you could do or would do?
There was. And I think, you know, now my current role as counsellor, it's a really nice combination of those two degrees.
So what did you actually end up then doing, though? Where did you go away to?
Well, I had this strong urge for adventure. So I went and booked myself on this 8-month trip in Africa. And it certainly provided a lot of adventure. So we were travelling around on these 8-ton trucks. So they had tents on the top and a pull-out kitchen, and we drove around and did lots of exciting things. I travelled through 26 countries in Africa.
Now, what was that tour?
It was a trans-Africa tour with a company called Dragoman.
Right. Now, were you working for them or were you travelling with them? What was the story?
At that point, I was just travelling with them. So it was an 8-month trip. While I was on that trip, I thought, wow, this is so exciting. I would love to actually work for these guys.
Ah, yep.
So I applied for a job en route and they said, sure, come for an interview. Why don't you get to the end of your 8-month trip first and then come and see us?
Okay, then. And they hired you?
They did. Yeah, I had to fly to England and had an interview with them. I had to then fly all the way back to Australia to get my truck license and then went back to England to do my training.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about 8 months in Africa. I mean, that's a long time to be a tourist.
Yeah, it was incredible. So we travelled through 26 countries.
Rightio. What are your highlights and lowlights of being in Africa?
Some of the highlights. Wow. So I remember this beautiful 3-day journey traveling through the Sahara Desert. So we were traveling from Morocco down through Mauritania. And we had to hire this local guide. His name was Ahmed the Finger. And Ahmed the Finger didn't speak a word of English. He just sat in the front of the truck and he just used this finger and he just pointed left, right, a little bit that way, a little bit that way. And he just directed us through the sand dunes because there were no roads. We were constantly getting bogged. So all the passengers would jump out, grab the spades. We'd have to dig out the tyres. Then we'd jump back in the truck and off we'd go again for another hour until the next bogging. It was great. So Ahmed directed us through. And as you know, the sand dunes, they're constantly moving with the wind. So given there were no roads, he just somehow had this sense. It was 3 days just in sand dunes with no road. And Ahmed the Finger guided us through till we ended up in Senegal with the first little fishing village across the border there. It's incredible.
You know, if I write books and if I put in a character called Ahmed the Finger, I'd get in trouble because not being imaginative enough.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Ahmed the Finger. Yep. Okay, then. So the 3-day journey through. But you did end up getting typhoid.
Yes, I did have the typhoid vaccine, but I managed to pick up a rare strain of typhoid when we were in Ethiopia. And I ended up in a very remote little village in Ethiopia in a somewhat sort of hospital type thing.
Right.
Not really a hospital by our standards, but I was able to get the required antibiotics. And I think that I was looked after back on the truck rather than spending a few nights in this particular facility.
Now, what's it like to have typhoid?
Typhoid was interesting. It gives you stomach cramps and severe headaches. So, I was quite unwell, but I did manage to get through it.
Wow. And then traveling on a truck while feeling like that must have been really unpleasant.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So you go away, you do your training, you get your truck license. Mm-hmm. How's that? How hard is it to learn to drive a truck?
Oh, it was brilliant. I love driving a truck. It's so much fun.
You're listening to ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. I'm Joel Reinberger. We're playing handball, where each person I interview elects the next person that we interview. And Claire Glade-Wright is who is with us right now. And she, like so many people in Tasmania, is a boomerang, someone who moved away as a young person and ended up coming back here. So Esther has just sent a text through, Claire, saying, I'm also a boomerang. I grew up in Hobart from the age of 3 when my parents emigrated here from Germany until I was 22. Met my husband. We moved to Melbourne where we lived for 35 years. We moved back to Hobart in 2015. Best move we ever made. Sadly, my husband passed away in January, but I am not going anywhere. This little island is the best place on earth to live. Right, we'll get in a minute to your boomeranging, but first, further adventure. So you finish your training. Where do they send you?
So I got contracted to go and work in South America for 2 years. So it was brilliant. So these trips, they're transcontinental. So you might start at the top of the continent and spend 6 months working your way down to the bottom. And a six-month trip like that might be made up of about 4 or 5 smaller trips. So passengers would jump on and off at various points. So my role as the tour leader was to look after all the passengers and manage all the bookings and manage the itinerary and manage the kitty, get us through all the various border crossings, which are often fun. South America's got a lot of corrupt policemen on those borders, so we had various ways to manage corrupt policemen in my limited Spanish.
Right.
And often when they saw this blonde chick rolling up, driving this 8-ton truck, they were often pretty gobsmacked.
Right. So how would you get past them? Was it just a matter of money?
Yeah, sometimes it was just calling their bluff. So if they were saying, oh, chica, you need to pay us some money. We've, our heater's broken down and we really need a nice new heater. Unfortunately, you don't quite have the paperwork to get through. But hey, maybe if you bought us this heater, we could sort of somehow work out your paperwork for you? And I'd say, sure, no trouble, no trouble. If you can give me a receipt, then no trouble at all. I can happily buy you a new heater. And they'd go, oh, madam, no, sorry, I can't offer you a receipt, but please carry on your way. So sometimes you could call their bluff. Sometimes it would be offering them a pack of cigarettes or something like that as well.
Okay. Cigarettes really speak in a lot of parts of the world,
don't
they?
They do. They do, yeah.
Would you have some Winnie Blues sent over from Australia?
Yeah, well, the tactic... not Winnie Blues, no. But the tactic was just to sort of buy a carton, have them scattered around the cab of the truck, and then if it caught their eye, you could sort of offer it to them, so it looked genuine.
And it's a nice little...
It's a nice little token.
Yes.
A little token
without actually having to hand over cash. That you see their eye and just go, accept this gift from me, please.
That's right. Absolutely.
So you get to the end of tour. What's again, highlight and lowlight of South America?
Oh, wow. Wow. So many adventures. One of the lowlights, this was between trips. So I didn't have passengers in my care for this particular incident. It was just myself and my co-driver. And I think there were a couple of other ex-passengers who had joined us at the end of a trip. And I think it was election day in Lima, in Peru. And Lima's a big old dirty city, and it was heaps of protests and riots, and it was just going off. So we thought, let's just get out of here for a couple of days. We've got a couple of days before our next trip and we meet the new group. So let's take our truck and we'll go head down to a beach somewhere. So that was probably our first mistake, because we were not in a place where we normally go on our itineraries.
Right.
And anyway, to cut the story short, because it's quite a long story, I did find myself face down in the sand with a gun to my head, thinking I was going to die, while some bandits basically just went through the truck and grabbed anything they wanted.
How did your bosses handle that, the fact that it happened to you?
Oh, look, they were very concerned. They wanted to make sure that we were all okay and mentally we were all okay. So we weren't in trouble as such.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the advice was maybe just stick to the itinerary.
Yeah, let's not hop off the beaten track where the bandits are anymore.
Exactly, that's right.
When did the magnetic pull of Tasmania start to prey upon your mind?
Well, at that time when I was travelling around South America, at the end of that contract, I hit 30 and I really had this urge to go and have babies. And I was offered another contract to go and work the Silk Route, so travelling from Beijing across to Istanbul with the loop of India. And oh my goodness me, I would have loved that. But I really had this sense like, oh, I've got to get home and have some babies.
Did you have someone to have babies with in mind?
I did, yeah. So my co-driver, who I worked with, we'd formed a bit of a relationship while we were working on route together. Yeah, so that was the decision. Let's go home.
So was he Tasmanian?
No, he's British.
So the magnetic pull of Tasmania ensnared another person while you're at it.
That's right. Actually, the little gaggle of girls that I went to school with since we were sort of young teenagers, they've all found partners from other places other than Tasmania and brought them back, which is quite funny.
I often think that our best export is our beautiful young people who bring back beautiful young people from other parts of the world.
That's right. Yeah. So talking about boomerang, so I left Tasmania at 18 with the sort of mass exodus of year 12 students who had finished school.
Off to uni and...
Off to the mainland. Tassie back then, for me anyway, was daggy and backward, and I didn't really feel proud of this place at all. There were those jokes about having two heads, and it just seemed like there wasn't much here for me. So that's sort of why I joined that mass exodus to leave this place at 18 years old. And like I say, I came back at 30. and was completely shocked at how the whole island had changed and the vibe was different and Mona was here and the whole thing. It just felt really different, and I really, really felt that that Tasmanians were really proud of this place. There was just a really big shift.
And the sea change, wasn't there?
Yeah, there really was. And I don't know if it's because I was away for so long and then I came back and it was really evident. I'm not sure what it was, but I really felt it.
You're happy to be back? You're here to stay?
I am here to stay. It's wonderful. And now, you know, with my young kids, I've got an accommodation business. And with my young kids, when they sort of are wondering why we've got people turning up at our place all the time, I can say to them, look, these people, they have holidays and they want to go somewhere beautiful and they choose to come and stay where we get to live. So the message that I'm giving my kids now is like, isn't it amazing where we live? Look where we live. This is where we live. And these people are choosing to come here on their holidays. And that's not the kind of message that I was getting when I was younger.
Claire Glade, right. It's been really interesting getting to know the younger you. Who are you going to handball us on to?
I'm going to handball you on to Jane Bamford. Jane's a ceramic artist. She's doing some incredible work combining ceramics and science with the aim to help out the spotted handfish here in Hobart and the fairy penguins in South Australia.
What a fascinating place to go to. Thank you, Claire. Hang out with us for the next half hour, though.
I will.